simple messages, and it won't make you think too hard. I pastored in New Mexico for 8 years, and one of the men in the church, hadn't been there too long, he came up and he said, "Pastor, I like your messages. You put the cookies on the bottom shelf." And I was thinking, well, that's as high as I can reach. You know? If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you to John chapter 14. And this is a missions message, but you're not going to think it is until the last point. John chapter 14, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Pastor, what is your custom? Do you usually stand or sit? Okay, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. If you're able to, if you're not, that's fine. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, and he's encouraging them. They're discouraged. He's going to be crucified, but he's also speaking to us. These words were preserved for us, and he's speaking directly to us. And he says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the privilege to be here this morning. And Lord, I thank you for this church and these people that are sacrificing to serve you and to help us. And Lord, what a tremendous blessing Brother Idaker has been to us in Mexico. And what a tremendous blessing this church has been to us from the very first day that I came. Lord, I pray that this morning, somehow, that you'd allow me to be an encouragement and a blessing to them. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to start out just a little bit negative. Bear with me, okay? But can you believe what's happening in our world today? Boggles the mind what's happening in Sunday school. We talked about that just a little bit, but you know, it is shocking. When I was a teenager, I never in my wildest imaginations would have thought that we'd be seeing what we're seeing today. And something will come out on the news and it will just completely shock me what's happening in our nation. And then I kind of become desensitized to it, kind of get used to it. And then something else happens, and it seems like we're going downhill pretty quickly. And but it's not here, just here in the United States. It's all around the world. You know, people will ask us, "How can you live in Mexico when it's so violent down there, the cartel?" And the Mexicans think, "Well, how can they live up there in the United States? It's so violent. You know, you go to school or to the shopping center, you might get shot." And but all around the world. You know, as in the days of Noah. And one of the days of Noah was a time of violence. And, I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. I hope I can use God's word to be an encouragement to you. But I want to give you three reasons. This is a crazy world, and so many bad things are happening. Three reasons why we should not be discouraged. Let not your heart be troubled. And, number one, let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way to a better place. We're on a trip home, and it won't be long before we're home. This whole world can be pretty rough. And, you know, we come to church, and we got our church clothes on, and we got a smile. And a lot of times we don't understand what's happening in the other people's hearts and the trials that they're going through, and the prayer requests in the Sunday school this morning. So many people are hurting, and in so many ways, not just physically. And it's easy to get discouraged. lot of discouraging things around us, and not just around us, but in us, in our families. You know, Satan attacks us. The best families have trials. And then in our personal lives, the trials that we're going through in this world. But we need to realize that we're on a trip home. We're on our way home. And God wants us to enjoy the trip home. As Christians, walking with the Lord, the same amount of discouragement that we have in the world, there are more blessings. And we need to lift up our eyes and see the blessings. I want to tell you this morning that we're on our way home. It's like a trip. As a missionary, we love to travel. It's not as easy as it used to be, but I love to travel. And we're traveling. We're going to be home in a little while. And on this short journey home, God wants us to enjoy the journey. We're in a spiritual warfare, and we're soldiers for the Lord. But at the same time, God wants us to enjoy this time here on earth. And you say, well, Brother Dorr, prove that to me. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible tells us that God, and it's talking about in this life, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Food, coffee, grandchildren, so many different things. And just God's presence in our life. The saddest person in this world is the Christian that has his eyes on this world. Boy, that would be discouraging. We were in Mexico for about 9.5 years. We started some works, and I was trying to start another work, and it just seemed like God wouldn't allow me to start another work. I just couldn't get peace. And where we were, I had trained those pastors, and I realized that if those guys had a little distance, if I wasn't in their churches, when I started those churches, and when we were there, the people would kind of look to me instead of to their pastor. And when we'd be gone for a couple weeks, it seemed like those guys would do great things when I wasn't there looking over their shoulders. And I thought, well, if I could go a few hours down the road, give them a little bit of liberty, a little space. We loved each other and had good fellowship, but be close enough to encourage them and fellowship with them. And I won't tell you the whole story, but God led us to take one of our supporting churches in New Mexico, in Silver City, New Mexico. And we were in Silver City, New Mexico. The church said, Brother Nelson, come and take our church, be the pastor, and keep your ministry in Mexico. They were very involved in our ministry. They'd go down and keep your ministry in Mexico. Go down to Mexico just as often as you need to, and we'll pay for the trips. And I still didn't think that God would lead me out of Mexico, but he did. And we pastored in Silver City, New Mexico for 8 years. And during that time, we began to see a second generation of young people coming up in those churches that wanted to serve God. And our people are very poor. A lot of them are Indians. And I realized that those young people were not going to be able to go off to train someplace. And I was trying to talk other missionaries into going into that area. I've got a good friend that I took over there to show him the need over there. And he was over in Chihuahua. And God called him to Sonora, where we are, but to another part. But with time, we began to realize that God was calling us back to Mexico. And our two oldest daughters, we have four children. Our two oldest daughters were in Bible college. And so I talked to Christy and Alicia, and I said, we're going to go on deputation again. We lost all our support as missionaries, and we're going to go back out on deputation, visit churches, and present our burden. And take a year off from Bible college and travel with us. Who knows, once we're back in Mexico and you guys will probably get married, where we'll all be, this may be the last chance that we'll all have to be together again. They said, yeah, Dad, we'll do that. And so we went out on deputation again. And I told the kids, I said, now, get together. I'm really a good father. And I said, get together and pick a place in the United States, any place except Hawaii and Alaska, any place you want to go, and pick a place, and we'll go there. I'll schedule some churches. I'll book some churches, and we'll go to that place. And I was thinking that they would want to go visit one of the oceans or Yellowstone National Park or something like that. They got together, and they came back to me, and they said, Dad, we want to go to New York City. And I said, well, pick another place. No, I didn't. And we went to New York City. I scheduled some churches up in Pennsylvania. And then we went up and visited New York City. I tell you what, I would not want to live in New York City. Whew. It's all pavement and concrete with crazy people. And but we had a wonderful time visiting New York City. And I came to the conclusion I would never, ever want to live in New York City. But it's a wonderful place to visit. Now, Mexico, we have groups come down and visit us in Mexico. And the food is wonderful where we are. We take them to get, I believe we have the best tacos in the country of Mexico. A lot of ranching. We have good seafood. Just a lot of good food. And then we got the ocean just less than an hour from us. Nice beach. Nobody's on it. My son started a church up in Alamos. It's one of the seven magical cities. It's six or seven. But it's a colonial style town. Cobblestone streets and just beautiful. A lot of Americans up there during the winter time. And we take them up there, and they meet our kids in the orphanage. And they always say, wow, we had a great time here visiting, and we'd like to come back. Now, you would not want to live in Mexico. Humanly speaking, if I had my choice, I would live here. What a beautiful place this is. And but it's Mexico's a rough place to live. A lot of crime, a lot of corruption, a lot of sickness, a lot of poverty, a lot of dust, a lot of pollution, noise pollution. Sometimes they got the music going on. We live outside of a little village, and the music is going all night long. And so I've come to the conclusion, I'm 67 years old, that I'm not going to live in Mexico anymore. But I'm going to be in Mexico as a visitor for the next 15 years or so, however long God gives me. And I'm just going to treat it as, hey, I'm just a tourist here visiting. Now, I'm making a point. I would never want to live in New York City, but it's a wonderful place to visit. This is a rough place to live, this world. And the saddest people are the Christians that live here. We're here, but we shouldn't have the mentality that this world is my home. And we need to have the mentality that we're on our way home. We're just visiting here. This isn't permanent. And there's some nice things to enjoy here. The early Christians had that mentality. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They declared plainly that they sought another country. Let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way home. And we'll be there in just a little while. I remember we'd travel when I was a kid, and it seemed so long to get anywhere. And but then all of a sudden, we were there. You know, I used to think the trip's never going to end. The older I get, the faster time goes by. And in just a moment, we're going to be there. And we're going to look back and we're going to say, boy, that was a short trip. We got here pretty quickly. Let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way to a better place. Secondly, let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus goes with us on the trip. I don't know how anybody could go through this life without the Lord Jesus. And much less, I cannot fathom how people want to go through this world. They know the Lord Jesus, but they don't want him really as a presence in their life. A lot of people want Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want him as their Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ traveling with us. He directs us, and he protects us, and he provides for us, and he consoles me when I'm so discouraged. And he blesses us. Jesus makes all the difference. In verse 16, John 14, 16, Jesus is encouraging his disciples, and he's encouraging us. And he's telling them, I'm going to leave. But he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter. Now look at that word, another. Okay? My Father will give you another comforter. And we understand that he's talking about the Holy Spirit. But when he says another, we understand that that's one of Jesus' titles. He says, I'll give you another comforter. I'm the comforter, and I'm going to give you another comforter. Now, I want to show you something that and it says, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, look at verse 18. This is really encourages us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that's why we say that Jesus lives in our heart. The Holy Spirit is in our heart, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. And Jesus lives in our heart, and he's with us on this journey home. And it's so hard. But as our brother said, we're victorious because of Jesus Christ. Jesus makes all the difference. We have those children that come to us, to our orphanage, and I tell you what, and it's no different here in the United States. When I pastored in New Mexico, I realized, hey, this mission field is no different than any other mission field. Satan is destroying lives. He may be working a little bit differently. Here we have foster homes as a safety net. Down in Mexico, if there's not an orphanage nearby, there is no safety net for those kids. And those kids are just like the kids up here. Maybe they don't know who their dad is, or their mom's a drug addict. We have a lot of big problem with prostitution down there. And these kids have been through everything. And you know kids like that here. I mean, they've been through everything. The whole culture in Mexico, one of the main cuss words in Mexico is the cuss word rape. People grew out of Europe, came over and raped the country. I mean, they took their gold and took it back to Spain. And there's a negative mentality. Live for today because tomorrow's not going to be good. You know, a lot of alcoholism, a lot of drugs. And that's happening in our country more and more. Live for today because tomorrow's not going to be good. In Mexico, it's beginning to change. But it used to be, and it still is, if you call a person ambitious, ambition is a good thing here. But if you call a person ambitious, that's a bad thing. You're criticizing that person. Who does he think he is? He thinks he can get ahead. He thinks he's better than us, that things are going to get better for him. And that's the mentality. And especially with these little children that come into the orphanage, and Satan has convinced them that life is bad. We had a boy, him and his brother Brian and Byron came in a couple years ago, middle school age young people, and came into our dorms. Their mom is a drug addict. They don't know who their dad is. They were just passed around, a lot of bad things. And both of them just, I mean, they're just defeated when they came. They just kind of walked like this, real slow with their head down. Never smiled. And we begin to tell those children, God loves you. And Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. And he has a great plan for your life. And, oh, it's so hard for them to believe that. And that life can be good, that Jesus loves them, that God has a good plan for their life, and that they can hope. I remember Byron was out chopping wood. Man, that guy can cut wood. And he'll chop it, and then he'll sell it to me, and I'll buy it. We have a wood stove. And man, he can make a lot of firewood in just a little time. But he was chopping wood. This has been about a year and a half ago. He had my axe, and he'd sink that axe into the tree. And then instead of pulling it out like that, loosening it, he would push it down. And I was just about to tell him, Byron, don't push it down. You're going to, and crack, he broke that handle. And man, he was just so defeated. He said, I don't know why bad things always happen to me. And I said, Byron, it's just an axe handle. And if you try to do anything, if you learn anything, you're going to make mistakes. You're doing great. I'm going to go get another axe. Or he said, there's another axe. And I said, oh, great. Everything's good. But he's come to believe that Jesus loves him. And he's forgiven. He's part of the family of God. And that God has a plan for him. And now he's a total different guy. He's happy. He walks around with his head up. He preached his first sermon. I think it was in a kids club. We have kids clubs all over the city. He preached his first sermon in kids clubs about 6 months ago. Jesus makes all the difference. And listen, not just for those little kids, but for us too. And it's very easy for us to look at the trials, to look at the bad things that are happening. And we need to get our eyes on Jesus Christ. We're on our way home. We're almost there, and Jesus is with us. My third point, I have 10 minutes, Pastor. This is my message, okay? All that was introduction, okay? Let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way to a better place, and we're almost there, because Jesus goes with us on the trip. And third, let not your heart be troubled, because on this short trip home, and it's amazingly short, we have an incredible opportunity and purpose. We're not just here by accident. It'd be so hard to live, in my mind, if you took the world's philosophy, the world's view that we just evolved out of animals and we don't really have any purpose here. That would be so discouraging. But we have a great purpose. And Jesus Christ was on this earth, and he said, my purpose is to seek and to save that which is lost. And then Jesus said, I'm going home, but my purpose has become your purpose, the purpose of the local church, to seek and to save that which is lost. And you guys have claimed that mission, to seek and to save that which is lost. And what an opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. There is nothing more important than other people in this world. All the gold in this world, all the diamonds, all the money, all the power, nothing is more important than people. And God has left us here to allow us to be used in other people's lives. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you love God? What is God preparing? Well, streets of gold and pearly gates. Well, you know, that's going to be wonderful, but I think he's talking about more than just the construction materials of heaven. And heaven's going to be a wonderful place. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about it because it just doesn't fit in our minds. So we just got to trust God that it's a wonderful place. And I think one of the main things that God is preparing is the harvest. It's the Lord's harvest. We sow the seed. God gives the harvest. You know, I believe this is God's hour for Mexico. Now, I say that. It's always been God's hour for every place on earth. But we're beginning to reap what those early missionaries sowed. And Mexico is become one of the open countries, like the Philippines. I think God led me to Mexico because I wasn't spiritual enough to go to one of those hard countries. And but the missionaries that go to those hard countries, Adoniram Judson, we talked about Adoniram Judson in Sunday school. He was a fruit bearer by faith. You know, many, many years, he just didn't see anything happen, nothing. And a lot of times we're fruit bearers by faith. We just trust God that we're sowing the seed. If you sow the seed, there will be a harvest. God has promised us that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you guys are sowing, okay? Your missions program, it's just phenomenal what God is doing in this church. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so we just have faith. We get to heaven, we're going to see the harvest. Down where we are among the Mayos, it's open. Now, when we first went there, it wasn't like that. People would throw rocks at us because we weren't Catholic. That happened several times. One time a rock hit my little girl right in the eye. And I was away at a conference and Kathy was pregnant. The car had broke down. And they were walking, trying to get to a little village where there was a pastor. And a little boy started throwing rocks at him. But now that's not happening. In Mexico, there's still places that are very closed and traditional, but much of Mexico is opening up. But I told Amir, he's going to the Yaquis. I said, Amir, when you go to the Yaquis, the Yaqui tribe is not going to be like the Mayo tribe. I don't think. Now, I hope I'm wrong. And so far, he's seeing some great things happening. And they're making trips up. We send a team up twice a month up, and God is just working. But I said, you may labor for a long time and just have a little group, and you're just by faith going to have to go forward. And then with time, God will begin to work. And, you know, a lot of times the Christian is just not seeing a lot happening. You're serving God, and you're not seeing a lot of souls saved, but you're trying to be faithful to God in your life, in your family, and in your church. And if you sow the seed, you will reap harvest. Well, let me close with this. God wants us in heaven. We're God's children. I have four children. Two of my children were born in Mexico. They all grew up in Mexico. Nine of my grandchildren were born in Mexico. We still have seven grandchildren in Mexico. And what a wonderful thing. Most missionaries don't have their grandchildren with them. We have 13 grandchildren. Seven are with us. And it's just a great blessing and to have them close. And, you know, God wants his children with him more than anything. He's preparing a place. He's so excited about us coming home. But he's leaving us here just a little while longer. I think we're in the end days. I don't think it's going to be long before Jesus calls our name and we go home. He's leaving us here just a little while longer because there are others that he loves also. And he wants them to come home also. And he wants us to use us in their lives. But I think in just a little while we'll be home. He's going to say, the trip's over. You're home. And I think we're going to look around. Won't it be wonderful? Listen, God doesn't ever say that we have to be perfect, okay? We're all sinners. I sin every day. I get irritated about things. But we can all be faithful. And I trust that you're here today because you just want to be faithful. And I think we're going to get home, and it's going to be so wonderful to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, the Bible doesn't say the rest. You really tried my patience. I was so exasperated with you so many times, but you were faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come in. I want to show you something. He's going to take us into heaven. This is your harvest. You're going to see kids from Mexico and all these other, and adults, all these countries. And I think we're all going to think, never in my wildest imagination would I have thought that there would be such a harvest. Remember, it's God that's preparing the harvest. I think it's going to blow our minds. And then the next thing I'm going to think, and you're going to think, wow, why didn't I do more? It was such a short trip, and I had so much opportunity, such a great purpose. I think we're all going to think that. Why didn't I do more? Praise God for this church, that you're taking your mission seriously. In just a little while, we'll be home. It'll be worth it all. Pastor.